Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Welcome to another installment of These Parts for another week, listeners. I'm one of your hosts, Elliot McNally, and with me, as always, is my brother, my friend, and my traveling companion, Vince McNally. How's it going, Vince?
It's going great, Elliot. My creative juices are flowing as we drive through this town. One of the most colorful and, you know, interesting artistic locations that we've been in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Are you done with the portrait you're painting of me? Can I put my clothes back on?
Yeah, I think some of the classic masters, the Van Goghs, the Picassos, would take exception to the term painting. More smearing. Is smear art a thing? I suppose it's like finger painting, but I'm using just my balled up fists and punching the canvas.
It's like an emotional release for you, and I think
it's very cathartic. Great. Yeah, my yoga instructor asked me to do this as part of my tension release routine, because whenever I was doing downward facing dog, I would just scream your name.
You know, a lot of people think that is just, it naturally comes to you and it's natural talent, but I kind of give our artistic prowess credit to our great-great-grandfather, Rand McNally.
Of course, he was a Renaissance man, and the classic arts were not foreign to him in that regard.
He actually is credited as drawing the original outlines of all of the United States. And that is why Texas looks like a giant middle finger, because it was a prank he was pulling on Thomas Jefferson.
It really created a couple years of messiness as the states themselves had to redraw their borders to conform with his original map. But I think we can all agree that if it's at Jefferson's expense, then it was a money well spent.
Yeah, you're right. The states already had their defined borders from the rivers and all that, but Rand thought he could just kind of freestyle it a little bit.
When you're the foremost map-making mogul in the country at the time, that's sort of the power that you wield, and he wielded it for good.
Yeah, when Rhode Island turned out the size of Canada, people thought that they should reevaluate his map and make him follow some more conventions of map-making that he would later follow.
That's a funny story in itself. He sort of forgot to put Rhode Island on the map originally, so he surreptitiously erased Canada and wrote Rhode Island in there. Huge boon for a couple years for Rhode Island, until they, of course, had to carve out a tiny piece of Connecticut to set things right.
Yeah, you can find some of those original maps on eBay for a few thousand dollars, and I think it's a steal.
That's right. They call it the Canadian Island Special Series. Well, we've digressed enough. We could talk about maps all day, Elliot. That's our lineage after all. But we're talking about a different form of art this week, aren't we?
Yeah, and we're in a town, Vince, that I think we should put on the map.
So listeners, unfurl, unfold, unfetter your Rand McNally official comprehensive U.S. wall map. And get ready to stick a pin in the center of the centermost state in the Union, Nebraska.
Now, the town we're in today is called Winsome, and it is home to an exploding arts community. That's why Vince and I are so in tune with our artistic side this week, especially. Everyone in the town who's an artist has developed an almost Banksy-esque persona to tag their art with. And although most cities would be averse to this, Winsome, Nebraska has embraced their arts community. Isn't that right, Vince?
Absolutely. When you say explosive, LA, you really mean it, as in high-pressurized aerosol paint. Yes. We've got sort of, if you go by the parlance of the times, graffiti artists, or as they like to be called now, street artists, who use the world as their canvas, and what's seen as a menace in perhaps the Manhattans or, you know, Portlands of the world, is seen as sort of a creative boon here in Winsome. Mm-hmm. But don't take our word for it.
We have a guest who is one of these artists at the forefront of this iconoclastic scene. Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi there. I prefer if you just went by my name that I prefer not to give my real name. Just call me Cha-Cha.
Cha-Cha. And I do want to point out for listeners, Cha-Cha, you had asked us to distort your voice. And listeners might be thinking, well, this sounds like a normal person's voice. But through the magic of editing, we have edited a different person's voice onto your voice. So it's not as distracting.
Thank you for doing that. That means the world to me.
Right now, you're hearing the voice of our producer, Xander, who had to sit in the recording studio for upwards of 275 hours to get a complete vocal map done. Small price to pay, of course. Your real voice is very, not to describe it too much, but a prominent Bahamanian accent.
Yeah, they say it's sort of like if a hawk came down and started speaking to you, this is what you'd imagine that voice to be.
Yeah, it sort of reminded me of like when Walt Disney did the Mickey Mouse voice, almost.
That's it.
And I also want to point out that just to protect your own identity, you are wearing a shopping bag with a big question mark on it, so we can't see your face.
That's true.
This is an audio show, even though we do use a camera to film it. Pay no heed to that. Your identity is safe here and now, so thank you, Cha-Cha, for joining us. Maybe you can go ahead and stick a pin in Winsome, Nebraska for us.
Sure. You want me to describe it right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I've been here my whole life. I've was born right down the street at Arnett, which is the local hospital, and didn't really get out a whole lot for the first 18 years. Spent most of the time here. Would go to the local theme park, which was about 3 hours away, and would enjoy myself. I loved it. We would go drive down to Kansas City, and that was like the closest we would get to a big city. But most of the time, people here are enjoying themselves. You walk into the local dairy, and people are buying their milk. People are buying their eggs. You go to the YMCA, they have a dance going. Anybody can go. It's nothing too crazy, but recently we've sort of had an uptick in the amount of fun we've had around here, that's for sure.
Yeah, sounds like a rollicking good time.
Uh-huh, yeah.
The things you're describing seem pretty boilerplate of any town. So when did the arts grab you, and when did you grab it by the horns?
Sure, the arts grabbed me about 2 weeks ago, and I grabbed it about a week ago.
Oh, so you were a fairly new artist in the town.
Well, yes, but that doesn't mean much, because things have taken off a lot faster than I've ever would have anticipated.
Can you describe some of the artwork that you made?
Sure. So I'm big on stress balls. I love stress balls. They've helped me through the hardest times of my life. When I decided not to go to grad school and some other times, they have helped me. So what I've been doing is I've been going up to local, like I went up to the penitentiary. I went up to like I mentioned, the dairy store, and I just been drawing stress balls, different size from an inch to the biggest one I've done is a 12-foot stress ball right in the side of the old Sears Roebuck.
Have you ever thought to make stress balls instead of just drawing them?
No.
The answer that only a true artist could provide, Elliot. I wouldn't question the man's medium if I were you. I find this very fascinating. Mm-hmm. Let me read some critiques from some out-of-town art journals, if you don't mind.
Feel free.
And I'd love you to respond to these if you could, Cha-Cha.
Absolutely.
This comes from Melanie. She writes for the San Diego Art Review. Cha-Cha is quite simply just drawing circles of spray paint, oftentimes not even moving the focus of paint off a single point.
So is this a negative or positive review, Vince?
Well, Melanie Jura gave it a one star out of 10.
Well, I have a differing review here. Can I just take one of these reviews that you have stacked?
I have a stack of reviews. Yes, please, Elliot.
This one comes from Maurice from MoMA in New York. And Maurice says, I would gladly burn this entire museum down just so I could get art from Cha-Cha in Winsome, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've got one more for you.
Yeah, lay it
on. If you don't mind. This comes from the Toronto Institute of Art and their lead curator, Robert Jones. He says, when I look at Cha-Cha's work, initially I began to weep openly.
Oh, God.
Then, after a few minutes, I begin to retch before finally looking up to the sky and thanking whatever deity exists there for such artistic genius.
So it's a visceral response that a lot of people are having.
And he says 12 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
Do you have any review you've gotten that maybe is your favorite for, you know, negative or positive that you has resonated with you?
You seem polarizing, Cha-Cha.
Sure. It that doesn't surprise me. My whole life I've been polarizing. You either love me or you hate me. No in between. So to say that that applies to my stress balls, I am the opposite of surprised.
So you would say you're not surprised?
No, this is one of the least surprising things that I've ever been told. Like, I have heard some very least surprising news in my life. One, I'm a man. No duh. Number two, you passed your driver's license test. Well, sure, it was a perfect score. Number three, this is the wrong address. Someone gave me the wrong address. So this is one of the far least of amount of surprise that I've ever been. But I would say one of my favorite reviews that I've gotten is actually from my favorite recording artist. I'm sure you've heard of. Oh, hang on a sec. Okay, sorry. The cat came in and started drinking milk, and then we ran out. So I had to stop for there for a second.
Oh yeah, your cat sidekick is also with us today.
Yeah, he's right here. He's drinking some milk.
Is it true? Sometimes you strap spray paint cans to him and just let him freestyle and paint stress balls as well.
Well, that is something I can neither confirm nor deny, but I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, that's true. Anyway, so my favorite recording artist, Ashanti, she told me that she walked into I have a room now set up at the local Freemasons Lodge, and she said when she walked in that she had never, ever got so emotionally moved where she had to lie down and call both of her living grandparents.
Let me dissect this first, just a second, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So you first mean to tell me that your favorite recording artist is Ashanti. Fair enough.
Yeah.
She came through Winsome. Was she on tour, perhaps?
No, she wasn't. This is actually the birthplace of Ashanti. So she's a local. She's a local.
Wow.
That's why I like her.
I was under the impression she's from Southern California, but I must have been mistaken.
Yeah, you were.
So she was in this. I'm assuming she is a Freemason. Is that why she was at the Freemasons Lodge?
No, she's not actually. She's just a welcome guest. It's sort of like, I don't know if you guys ever did a fraternity, but sometimes you have your friends over that wasn't in the fraternity.
You're describing like a frat party.
It's a wildly similar comparison.
So Ashanti's over, she sees your art and immediately has to lay on the ground and call both of her living grandparents.
Before they passed, yes.
And they passed away that day.
They passed away that day, yeah.
What a story. It seems a new development at every turn. Much like your own career, Cha-Cha, you're one of street art's rising stars.
Thank you.
And I have to say it's an honor for us to be able to talk to you. And maybe this is as good a time as any to dive into our first segment, Elliot.
I think so, Vince. It's called Towning Around. So listeners, Towning Around is my and Vince's addition to our forthcoming almanac, Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers Comprehensive Guide to Small Town America. If you purchase our almanac, you will also get all of these walking tour segments that we do.
To clarify legally, sorry, Elliot, Xander tells me we have to say this. When you buy the almanac, you'll get one of the many walking tours randomly, sort of like when you buy a cereal and you get one of the toys inside, but it's not sure which toy you're going to get. So you got to keep buying the almanac to complete your set.
But we only will release one edition of the almanac, just to be clear. The reason we had to do this is because we've gotten several cease and desist letters from Rick Steves telling us that our concept for the walking tours was ripped off. And maybe we shouldn't have called it the Rick Steves walking tours. That's neither here nor there. But our settlement was that we could release one to each person at a time.
That's right. So now we've renamed it under threat of our lawyers to the Rick Steves Smells PU Walking Tours. So hopefully you enjoy this one. We recorded it earlier as we walked through the colorful streets of Winsome to look at various artists' creations, including our own Cha-Cha. So hopefully you guys enjoy it.
Hey guys, it's Elliot and Vince McNally walking around with Cha-Cha in Winsome, Nebraska. Cha-Cha, can you describe what we're looking at right now? I mean, there's art everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what they call Marcy's Playground. What's so funny?
Nothing. Please continue.
Sure. So our current mayor, obviously everyone knows Marcy. This playground here is renamed after the mayor whenever they get voted in. So this is currently Marcy's Playground. As you can see, just wall-to-wall art, and not just my famous stress balls, all different types of art from different variations of meatloaf that people make. They come and they draw what their favorite variation is. This one here, you see this long one?
Oh, yeah. This is several feet
long, actually. It's a massage table.
It's a painted massage
table. It is. Yeah, it's painted massage table. And over here, this one that kind of, it looks like it's 3D.
It seems 2D, though, when you reach out.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, well, wow. Because it's a painting. Those are stairs.
So this is a 3D object made to look 2D by the magic of spray paint.
Yeah, watch this. Oh, there, this kid thinks they're real stairs.
He just keeps running into the wall. It's like in a video game, you know, when you've reached the edge and the character is just running into
the wall. Oh, that's rich.
Oh, God, there he goes again. He's trying it again.
So I've actually never seen this. Something 3D that is represented in a 2D space. Have you ever seen this, Vince?
Never. A novel concept. I want to talk about this mural here on the side of a school. Mm-hmm. Not sure it's school appropriate. It seems to be several major candy bar brands. We've got a Snickers here. We've got a Twix. And they're enthralled in some sort of orgy. Mm-hmm. Is this sort of a anti-capitalist statement? Is it like a critique on the ephemerality of life and love? Can you shed some light on this for us?
Yeah, Cha-Cha? You're really close with the critique part. It's actually a critique on the American version of The Office. they really got it wrong. I think that when I was talking to the artist of this, Crayon Mark, he told me that they just screwed it up so bad, and it's not just the characters, it's the tone of the whole thing. So he came here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, bag over his head as well. Nobody knew it was him, well, except me, because he told me about it when he did it over a week ago. And he told me that the American public needs to know. So that's what that is.
Oh, so that is why that Mars bar has John Krasinski's face
on it. It is. It's exactly why. You've nailed it.
I think the Bon Bon Creed embracing the Almond Joy Stanley is one of the more moving pieces of artwork I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It really gets at our consumer culture in America, I think. And also above here, Vince, I don't know if you saw this, it says, "This is a critique on the American version of The Office," spray painted above this.
Ah, so I guess I hadn't seen that when I was pontificating about its inspiration.
It's so high up.
Yes, it's nearly 6 feet high. Yeah.
I'll show you something cool. Put these glasses on here.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Here you go. Look at that. It's gone now. It's gone. You can't see the mirror anymore.
Well, so by glasses, you meant a small paper bag that you put over my head, right?
Well, yeah. Was there a different form?
No. Well, so I'm going to take this off so I can continue looking at this visual tour that we're going on. Okay. What's this next piece that we're coming upon, Cha-Cha?
Sure. That's a submarine sandwich, 13 inches long.
But this is just like an actual sandwich someone seems to have left out on the street.
Sure, but
partially eaten. Is this the found art phenomenon that's also sweeping the cultural zeitgeist right now, Cha-Cha?
I don't want to speak for the country, but yes, this is it. People find art in different things. For me, I've always found it in stress balls. Some people find it in abstract paintings. Other people find it in food. Some of the most popular things on earth are food. If you look it up on the internet, you're going to find tons of pictures of different food. So it's no surprise to me that the next evolution of art goes into the food realm. This here is a submarine sandwich. It's an Italian hoagie. several different types of meats are going to be involved. That includes pepperoni.
Is that Genoa salami that I see?
That is, yeah. That's going to be hanging out on the outside. A lot of people want to make sure that they include it, so they show it on the outside of the bread.
I see. Wow. Some call Genoa salami the watercolor of meats.
Some do. I don't, personally.
Artists' opinions. They can be mined as well as any mountain or hill. All right, so
I think we should wrap this up, Vince, because I want to go home and Google different foods, because I'm really excited about the prospect of being able to see pictures of food.
Yeah, it seems like from what Cha-Cha is saying, food is fairly popular right now.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. And this is Elliot and Vince McNally signing off on another walking tour.
Well,
wow, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, one of our best. Cha-Cha, do you have any thoughts, sort of in summary of the tour?
Yeah, I have three different thoughts.
Great. What are all
perfect?
Those? Okay. Well, first off, the first thought is thank you for going along with me. One of my biggest delights is showing people where I grew up, and having something as exciting as what's going on now in the art community is great. Number two, I'm getting more and more involved with the food art selection. I've started dabbling myself. I just recently put up my first exhibit. It's a little cup of tapioca pudding right outside of the haberdashery, and it is blowing people away. My third thought is, I wish I would have shown you one other thing that we missed. And what it is, it's a giant drawer, and inside people put in different postcards, and on the postcards are little etches of different art that will be shown soon throughout the community. So it's kind of like a preview of what's to come.
That's really cool.
We should have seen that.
Yeah, it goes great with our whole concept of the show. I can't believe we missed that.
Yeah, it's suspect that when we asked you about places to go that you wouldn't have brought that up.
Yeah, well, don't beat yourself up. I mean, it's not something to really hammer home with, so you're fine.
I still think it was a successful walking tour. Usually those segments end with Vince ruining something. And I do want to point out, Vince, you did take a bite of that sandwich right after we stopped recording. So I don't. Maybe we can put an asterisk next to that one.
It didn't have the do not touch placard. So,
yeah,
I mean,
it's okay. I mean, it's one of the things you do when you stop by Winsome. You take a bite of our submarine sandwiches and head on back to where you came from. So it's good that you got a chance to do it.
You're a jolly fellow. Hello, and I'll just say this for once and for all, Elliot. I'm not going to come upon Genoa salami and not sample it, so that's just the end of that. But how about the beginning of something else? A segment we like to call Wouldn't You Like to Know?
Listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know is your weekly opportunity to write into Vince and I and our guests and inquire about whatever town we're in. We have time each week to read three, and guys, I've got the first one.
Can't wait, Elliot. Let's hear it.
This one comes from Jaime. And it's spelled Jamie, but, you know, I'm going to give us the benefit of the doubt that we have a diverse listenership and say it's Jaime.
It's from Toledo, Ohio. So, you know, massive Latin American community there.
I'm just going to go on a limb and say he's Latin American. Also, he's written the letter on this paper that has like a Mexican flag print on it.
Oh.
So I think maybe that's a giveaway.
Difficult to read.
Also, he's written the letter in Spanish. So that's the other key piece of this.
Ah, well, thankfully we're both fluent. So
yeah. So let me try and translate this. He says, querida los hermanos McNally, that's dear McNally brothers, ¿qué piensan de las artistas que son contratados de compañías para hacer arte? And what he means by this, guys, is what do we think about artists who are commissioned by companies to make artwork? I know that a lot of art these days is the meeting of art and commerce, but what does Winsome, Nebraska feel about this?
So your translation seemed longer than the letters.
Yeah, usually it's opposite in Spanish, but for this one, maybe just because the way that Toledo, Ohio speaks Spanish, the colloquialisms there, it ends up
abbreviatory. Yes, I got it. Yep, makes perfect sense, Elliot.
So Cha-Cha, what are your feelings for people who are contracted by companies to make art instead of just expressing for themselves?
Very much against. I feel like art is something that you have to do for yourself. If you're doing it for someone else, it's not art. You understand? And so I see like all these different companies like hiring people that I know very, very well Craig Gregg and Darth Barn and all these great different...
These are household names, too.
Yeah, and now they're off in gosh knows where, L.A. or New York or Atlanta, and they're doing stuff for these companies, and it's not them. So I that is something you'll never find me doing. I do art for myself. You'll see my stress balls in Winsome and Winsome only. So not for me, no.
So listeners, if you want a little context, if you remember that time Pepperidge Farms paid an artist to turn the Flatiron Building in Manhattan into a giant barn, that was the work of Darth Barn.
He also wrapped the Sears Tower in one of those Milano cookie bags.
Yes. Right.
Makes me sick.
Correct.
Makes me sick.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. No. I agree with you. And obviously, this is some artwork of Vince and mine, making this podcast and making our forthcoming almanac. And although we do have a sponsor, Vince, Map, the Map app, the app that's a map.
Download it today.
I would still say they barely qualify as a company. So I think we're towing the line between art and commerce.
Legally, they're definitely not a company.
That's true.
So hopefully we're not considered sellouts to you, Cha-Cha. No. Your respect and admiration really means the world to us both.
No, and here's the thing. Even if I knew that beforehand, you guys have swayed me. I like you both a whole ton. So nothing you could do.
Well, thanks a bunch.
Sure.
So perhaps you can react to this different form of art that I've got highlighted here.
Sure.
I love questions about movies, Elliot. We never seem to get them on the show.
Never.
This comes from Louise in Utah. It's just this whole state.
Oh, great. So what does Louise in the entire state of Utah have to say?
Louise wants to know, hey, you're in Winsome, home of that highfalutin street art. Well, first, maybe you can react to the term highfalutin.
Sure. Let me react. Whoa.
You actually fell backwards. You can't see this, listener. You fell backwards in your chair.
Yeah, I'm okay, though. But that was a wild ride.
I'll continue. We in Utah don't have such fancy things, but maybe you can stoop to our level and talk about the silver screen for a minute.
It seems very combative.
Yeah, antagonistic from Louise. She concludes by saying, one of my favorite movies, parentheses, for what it's worth, and then she has what when you're really mad and you scribble with your pencil and you just make a big like patch of graphite.
It seems like she's ripped through the paper doing that.
Yeah. So maybe some anger issues from Louise. Concludes by saying, for what it's worth, my favorite film is Deliverance, and unfortunately, it was shot and set in your flea-bitten town of Winsome, Nebraska.
Wow.
You care to react again, Cha-Cha?
Sure. Yeah, Deliverance. Oh, God. I don't know a whole lot about that. During that time of my life, I had come down with pretty severe tonsillitis, and I was out the whole time that they were filming. So I don't know a whole lot about that. I know that some of the actors came by and had a submarine sandwich, and it did not go well. They complained the whole time because they were too small, and that's why we upgraded to the 13-inch from the 12. It's kind of painful to talk about, to be honest with you, but...
So you're saying that, and you're confirming that the film was neither shot nor set here, it was in Georgia, but that the craft services industry used Winsome, Nebraska to use these pieces of art, these giant sandwiches, to feed the cast and crew of Deliverance.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm imagining something along the lines of John Voight not being happy about the size of the sandwich.
He was the worst out of all of them.
He always seems to be. He always seems to be. He's a particular man, John Voight.
He really is. And he and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of different things.
You and he have a lot of conversations.
Well, we did. He actually would stop by the orthodontist after my tonsillitis. I went right from a tonsillitis and got my braces off right after that. So he would stop by and hang out with everybody. And he just, everyone loved him except me. He just, every opinion that I had, he had the opposite. And we just weren't meant to hang out together.
While he was shooting the film in Georgia, yeah, he would swing by Winsome, Nebraska, yeah. just to hang out.
Well, wow. to visit the orthodontist, Elliot, did you even listen to the story?
Oh, the closest orthodontist.
Well, it's a well-known fact about John Voight that he keeps all of his medical services in different small towns across the country.
I actually didn't know that.
If you've read his autobiography, Voight with Your Wallet, he means to say that if like a major disaster strikes one city, he doesn't want to be cut off from all of his medical services.
Oh, I think I was reading his other autobiography, Avoiding Disaster.
Well, it seems like that would be in that one instead of the one that I said, but...
It's weird. Maybe he thought of it after he wrote that autobiography, included in the other one.
Well, so thanks for the answer, Cha-Cha. Sure. Maybe you have the last question for us as well.
I have the last question right here. Let's see here. This is from, looks like, Tom Organizer. From upstate New York, Mr. Organizer, he says, what's the deal with the one road? He's talking.
The one road.
As a quick aside, listeners, if you're going to write in, maybe include your full return address. We've got a Utah and an upstate New York here. It's not really how the postal service works, but please, I digress. Continue, Cha-Cha. The one road, you said?
Yeah, so we only have the one road that goes right diagonal through the town. And there are no, it's so stupid. There are no different places to park except the one road. So it's basically you got one lane and that goes both forward and backward. And you have to sort of take turns with who's going where. Everyone's late to work every day. It's a real disaster. So, you know, I don't know why they won't change it. You know, like everybody's got these gorgeous new Pontiac Aztecs and Hyundai Accents and all these different cars, and you know they're all getting dinged up because of the water road. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, listeners, usually we park to do the show, but we've been slowly crawling through traffic the entire week that we've been here. Yeah. So yeah. It's sort of
in reverse.
That's right. Yeah, we've had to reverse through the town. Strangely enough,
I've heard about this actually from a press release from the mayor, and you'll notice that on this one road, all of the outsider artwork and graffiti is also kind of abutting the sides of it. So this is an attempt to get tourists to see all the artwork that Winsome, Nebraska has to offer just on the one road. Even if you're driving through it, you can just see everything at once.
If that ain't one of the top three coolest things you've ever known, then I don't know what else is.
Top three coolest things I've ever known, for sure. Thanks for writing in, everyone who wrote in. And if your letter didn't get read on the air, then be sure to check our forums. Elliot, I'm really excited for this next segment.
Yeah, we just heard about a cool thing. We're going to talk about some maybe not so cool things that have to do with the law in a segment called You Can't Do That Here.
So listeners, you know how it is in small towns. There are certain things on the books that you just can't do. Sometimes they're archaic laws. Sometimes they're around for a good reason. And what better place to explore that than in this town of subversion and counterculture where street art reigns supreme? Talk about the law, the officers of the law. Do they chase you off your work? Do you have an adversarial relationship with them, Cha-Cha?
Sure. You know, it's at first it was tough. At first, a lot of people got arrested due to the amount of artwork going around. But I think that once the community got on board with it and Mayor Marcy got on board with it, then things started to turn around. I think that despite what people think, the cops are there to protect, and they were just trying to protect. But once they realized that people wanted the art and people would start going to the stores more if there was art involved, then they started loosening up a bit. I myself have never gotten arrested. I have gotten one citation, but I had nothing to do with my art. But other than that, you know, they're pretty cool with it.
What was the reason for your citation, if you don't mind my prying a little bit, since this is the nature of the segment, Cha-Cha?
Sure. I bent over because I dropped a quarter, and you could see my panties because my pants weren't hiked up enough, and they called me indecent exposures.
They called you indecent exposures. Yeah.
And you could see your panties? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
all right. Well, that's unlucky. Seems kind of strict, since sometimes, you know, we all have inadvertent underwear reveals. And I hope that when, you know, I've walked around, maybe you could see the little tag on my Fruit of the Looms that I wouldn't get tagged with indecent exposures, yeah, as they call them.
It was one of the top three unluckiest moments of my life.
There were two others?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you care to expound upon that?
Or? No, I don't want to.
Okay, that makes sense. I feel like if you divulge too much information about yourself, people might start to realize who you really are.
Thank you for saying that.
And hey, you know what? Shame on whoever arrested you. I can see your panties right now up over your jeans. Embroidered on the inseam is Deadly Handsome Man, and I have to say, that's that's a good look.
That's incredibly kind. I almost passed out right here when that came out of your mouth. That's so nice.
Yeah, you were wobbling around in your chair. I'm glad you were able to stabilize yourself. But I think that comes part and parcel with being an artist. You have to be sure of yourself, and you have to be sure that no matter what people think or what people are critique of you, you're going to do what you want to do. Mm-hmm.
That's true. There's no, like we talked about earlier with all the different brands that are trying to scoop us up, you know, it takes away from the artistic vision that we all have, you know, nestled within our hearts and brains and, you know, other parts, you know, it takes away from that. So when that stuff pops up, it's nice. It's nice to be on the good side of history for once.
Yeah, sounds like it. So let's talk about, legally speaking, it seems like mostly no holds barred when it comes to tagging stuff here in Winsome. Is there anything that's off limits? Is there anything you can't spray paint? Like if you went up to Mayor Marcy's home, could you spray paint that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you were to walk up there now, it's a wreck, honestly. People have honestly taken advantage of it. There's submarine sandwiches, and I've did a couple stress balls during my first couple outings, and they aren't what they are now. So, yeah, that's not a problem. That's not a problem at all. It's some of the other stuff that it gets a little dicey.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about dicey.
Yeah, what is this other stuff?
Well, I mean, the obvious one is you can't ask if someone else has jaundice.
Yeah.
Is that because, you know, if you're using yellow spray paint too much, you might get it on your skin and you might look jaundiced?
That's partially it. That's partially. Another thing, I think people get real offended because of the question. So you don't ask people that. I've seen people do some time for that. Some of Craig Gregg's best work before he was taken off by Panera was when he was asking people about jaundice and he went to jail. He did some gorgeous paintings of different keyholes, and I gotta tell you, it still is one of the sights to see if you go to the penitentiary. It's really nice.
What's interesting about Panera is they've since developed a very like street hooligan persona for their brand. So of course they look to Craig Gregg and his paintings. Yeah. But what tends to happen when a brand appropriates an artist is that both of them get kind of toned down in intensity, you know?
So when he turned the fountain in the Plaza Ventura Boulevard into a big bowl of French onion soup, it didn't really have the same, what I would say, countercultural impact that his normal yellow keyholes would.
It really didn't. And honestly, if it was the same Craig Gregg from his visions before, it wouldn't have been a bowl. It would have been a gosh dang bread bowl, I can tell you right now.
That was not the distinction I was expecting when you started this rebuttal, but interesting stuff. I always love to hear about what can and can't go in quotes in the towns that we visit, Elliot, but maybe we should take a more positive spin in our final segment.
I think we should, Vince. That segment, of course, is Did You Know?
So listeners, we know that in 2017, not everyone has time for a full podcast, though we hope you do. So we include Did You Know, a rapid-fire fast fact trivia segment where we fire five fast facts back and forth. Let's throw it over to our guest to start this time. Do you have a Did You Know fact for us, Cha-Cha?
Yeah.
Great. Let's hear it.
Oh, yeah, sure. The boomerangs, if you throw it, it will go backwards.
Hold on.
Did I miss something?
No.
The Did You Know facts pertain to the town we're in, but you went a different route of just a generic fact, which is fine.
The boomerang. So you mean to say that when You're talking about the normal behavior of a boomerang or a specific difference of behavior when you throw it here in Winsome?
It's different than it is the rest of the world. Because it's in the center of the country, there's a different polar effect that happens. And because of that, if you throw it with your right hand, it twirls left.
Wow. So this is like some weird anomaly for the Coriolis effect that you know, all the water here flows the wrong way and boomerangs go the wrong
way. That's all the Chromalois effect. It's incredible.
No. Yeah, Elliot, that's the Chromalois effect, not the...
Oh, okay. Sorry, I misspoke.
No problem.
We're not meteorologists, listeners, so hold your angry letters. Interesting. Has that ever come back to bite anyone? Are there any Australian Aboriginals maybe that have moved here only to get a sour shock?
Nope.
Good. I'm glad that hasn't happened. Elliot, do you have the next did you know for us?
I certainly do. I don't know if I can top that one. But guys, did you know that Winsome, Nebraska is the only state in the United States that... Actually, it's a city. It's not an entire state. It's the only city that still teaches kids cursive in school.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. So are you good with the script? Cha-cha?
Mm-hmm. I am very, very good. People have came from all over the county to come just watch me write my signature on my stress balls. They love it.
Your tag in the industry is what you call it, right?
Guess what I write?
I'm guessing it's not cha-cha?
I write cha-cha, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Good guess. It's a good guess.
Yeah, so terrific.
What I like about this fact is that, you know, people think that script is kind of a lost art, that you don't need it anymore, but we're proving time and time again that you're going to have to tag your artwork somehow. Mm-hmm. And because Winsome, Nebraska embraces the art so much, they want kids to be able to sign their names at least.
Yeah, they do. That's the number one top three priority for sure.
The number one top three priority. You heard it here first, folks. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, but did you guys know, unfortunately, drug abuse is rampant among the youth in Winsome. Yeah.
Oh, no. Say it ain't so, Vince.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Much like many small towns in the Midwest, the youngsters are having trouble keeping their noses clean, literally as huffing, predictably, is the number one offender.
Yeah.
Have you struggled with this yourself, or can you speak to the struggles of the youth here in Winsome?
Yeah, they really has gotten out of hand. You know, as an older guy in my 20s, I never really caught on to that. But some of the kids, I see bottles of Pepto-Bismol everywhere, and you know that the youths have been by. And it is concerning because, you know, there's a lot of talented young artists here, and they're just throwing their lives away to the huff. And, you know, that stuff, it doesn't wear off very quickly, and I see a lot of youngsters go down.
Wow. So, Vince, I believe you were referring to spray paint, but Cha-Cha, you're talking about Pepto-Bismol. Is this a nod to people trying to use different mediums for their artwork other than paint?
No.
Oh, it's just people also use Pepto-Bismol as a recreational drug.
Yeah.
Great.
That's good enough for me. I had no idea that was true, Vince. But, guys, did you know that Winsome, Nebraska is home to the most disgruntled sales reps of one particular company?
Which company is
what
that?
What company is that?
I'm glad you guys asked. It's the Krylon spray paint company. So obviously everybody else in America uses Krylon to paint their houses, their different pieces of furniture, whatever. But they come here and much like, you know, an old school Bible salesman or a knife salesman, they'll go door to door selling their paints. And they think they're selling paints to kids that are going to be painting their houses or something. But then they see their product used on this graffiti all over a town.
Wow. That is hard to hear. And I'm actually seeing it now. I've logged on to TripAdvisor and I'm seeing the reviews. And holy cow, I wasn't aware of this. And I'm embarrassed, honestly. This is some
rare. Yeah, all the negative reviews are from these paint reps. Oh. They don't like their product to be used as graffiti.
Wow. That is embarrassing almost. And I've been using these products for over a week and a half now.
Yeah, a storied history.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that you've only been technically an artist for a week and a half.
He's a star on the rise.
Yeah, the breadth of work that you've produced in that week and a half is astounding.
Yeah, you can say I'm a young Tory Spelling.
I would say that. In fact, I told Elliot I did say that, right, when we got here. I'm like, this is like a young Tory Spelling if I've ever seen one.
Yes, you said that. Yeah, you said Tory Spelling. I said Einziering. But it's all kind of the same idea that you're a star on the rise.
Yeah, you strangely said like an elderly Einziering.
Well, he's gotten better with age, I think.
I agree. But we digress. Cha-Cha, do you have the final Did You Know factoid for us?
Sure. So at our local hotel, it's called Kink's Motel. That is where...
Oh, my.
It's not naughty. It's not naughty. That's just the that's just the name of the family. The Kink family have been here for years, and they don't do anything naughty, I assure you. But the thing that I wanted to share with you is that, have you ever heard the hit song Crazy by Seal?
Yeah, it's a great tune.
It was
We listen to it a few times a day.
Sure. It was written here at the motel. Seal stayed here when he performed in Lincoln.
Oh, wow. You're hours away from Lincoln, but if it's worth the trip, I can see Seal shacking up here. What did he think of the accommodations?
He loved it. He got a deal. He got a bargain deal. I think it something in the mid-50s, I think, a night, and he couldn't pass it up. So he's drove down here and stayed with us. And little do you know, he wrote a little something. He wrote right on the towel that this is the place where Seal wrote Crazy. And sure enough, within the next few years, guess what's on the radio?
Kiss from a Rose?
No, Crazy. Crazy was on.
Elliot, come on.
Yeah. Okay.
Put two and two together, man.
Maybe you weren't paying attention.
Makes sense. That makes a lot more sense.
Wow, interesting. I love to hear these little brushes with fame that these small towns have.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing I can credit you all with is that even though you're a town that's being talked about, you're a town that's on the rise and full of stars, you still got your feet firmly planted in the ground.
I do. I certainly do, yeah.
Your feet are actually stuck to the floor of our RV because there's so much paint on your shoes right now. So I think that's a very literal
thing. I know. I got to go get myself a new pair of Crocs.
Has Crocs ever approached you to do anything for them? I mean... If Crocs approached you, I mean, wouldn't anyone say yes?
Well, when we talked earlier, I mentioned that I wouldn't sell out, and I wouldn't. And I got to be honest with you, Crocs, they sent me a fax about 4 days ago, and they asked me, hey, we want you to draw the Eiffel Tower and make the little holes in the Eiffel Tower part of a Croc shoe. And I said, you're out of your line. You're out of your line here, pal. That's what I faxed back. Damn. Yeah, and they never contacted me.
You faxed them back the phrase, you're out of your line.
That's it. That's all I said.
Wow. That's a man of principle.
That's crazy. I know that Crocs has slowly been developing their bad boy persona. You know, the craziest, coolest people I know wear Crocs, and of course they'd want to paint the entire Eiffel Tower like a Croc shoe. So, yeah. But I think it is a testament to who you are and who your character is that you said no.
I think that's true. I think one of the top three things about me is that I stick to my principles, and there's no sway here.
I wish the proprietors of Crocs Presents the Louvre would have as much backbone as you do. But we digress. Thank you so much, Cha-Cha. We'll let you get back to your work. We're almost out of this traffic jam.
Okay.
So we're going to hit the road. But before we do, we've got one more segment, listeners.
It's called Wish You Were Here.
Now, listeners, in a perfect world, you would be here with us in Winsome, Nebraska. But that just can't work logistically. We've tried. The next best thing, of course, is an audio postcard from us to you that goes a little something like this. Dear listeners, wish you were here in Winsome, Nebraska.
A town with an arts community and a new artist, Cha-Cha, that's on the rise.
A town with its avant-garde attitude painted right on its face.
A town where you can walk around and see the biggest sandwiches you've ever seen.
A town where you're going to be following in the footsteps of such art giants as Cha-Cha, Seal, Ashanti, Craig Gregg, and Darth Barn.
A town where no one's going to be selling out, but you're definitely going to be buying in to a lot of art.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Hey, listeners. Hope you enjoyed our foray into Winsome, Nebraska, and our talk with Cha-Cha. And I hope you're with us next week when we're in Handler, Oklahoma.
Historically the largest manufacturer of panhandles, the town has since needed to diversify to manufacture other types of handles for other products. Seems like a pretty cool show to me.